Hello, boys and girls, and welcome to The Sanctuary, episode 4. Can't believe it. Crazy. If you want to know a fun fact, I already recorded this episode once before. Yeah, last night. And guess where it is? It's gone. So, I'm redoing it. You know what? Life ain't fucking stopping me from doing this bullshit. You know? My idiocracy is not stopping me from filming episode 4. Let me tell you, it sucked. Last night really sucked. I recorded an entire hour podcast, which was episode 4, and yeah, something happened in Audacity, which is where I record the audio for this, and yeah, it just, you know, it's gone now, so doing it again. So anyway, let's get into, you know, the actual episode. Update. We are now on iTunes now. Sorry, I'm burping. Just had some breakfast. It's the next day. It is 11:43. But, we're on iTunes now. So not only are we on Spotify and Google Podcasts, we are on iTunes Podcasts. For all those Apple users with iPhones, you all have the app on your phone. So I'm on there. Just type in Nerd Out Sanctuary. I'm the guy that comes up. So we're on, you know, YouTube, Nerd Out Sanctuary, and then also Nerd Out Sanctuary for Spotify, Google Podcasts, and iTunes. So that's an update. It's awesome. I'm glad we're on there. It's a little bit surreal how my podcast is on there. You know, iTunes took a while to approve the podcast, but we did it. You know, it's fine. So let's get into some topics, what we're going to be talking about with this episode. It's a jam-packed episode. I mean, last night when I was recording it, it ended up being like an hour and 15 minutes. So it might be cut down a little bit because I've talked about all the stuff that I've talked about already in a previous, well, not a previous podcast, but the recording that I did last night. But, you know, we're still going to try to get everything that I said from that episode in here because it was a pretty decent episode. I kind of liked it a lot. But anyway, so there's a trailer that just came out on what I think New Year's or New Year's Eve or whatever, and I've seen the previous movie. It's a big trailer. I have some thoughts on that. I just recently saw a Netflix original movie that I think came out in November, I believe, and just saw that. I want to talk about that real quick. We have our two main topics for this episode are two. Season premieres of two incredible TV shows that I love both, but both were released differently. One was on Netflix, one was on Disney Plus. So now I just kind of spoiled what I'm going to talk about. But with that, I also want to discuss the topic of binging television shows and whether we should be doing it or whether we should be watching it, you know, bi-weekly. And stuff like that. So, interesting topics for today. Hopefully it goes as well as it did last night, but, you know, if it doesn't, whatever. Like, it was kind of devastating. I mean, just imagine, like, 2 hours of work of your time, and it was all for nothing. Like, it was pretty devastating. I'm not gonna lie, I was really frustrated. I was gonna even record it again last night, but I was just like, I can't fucking do this. I'm way too fucking heated. It would just be a terrible podcast. I'm burping again. Sorry. But I wasn't in the right mindset to record an episode last night. But hopefully it never happens again. I've learned, you know, my lesson, you know. But yeah. So let's just get right into this goddamn episode, okay? Let me stop sorry that I coughed. That probably sounded really bad. But, yeah, I'm ready to get into this episode. And, you know what? I'm done introducing shit. Let's just get right into it. So, a trailer came out on New Year's Eve. And it is called A Quiet Place Part 2. Not Part D. It's not Hot Shots. But, Quiet Place Part 2. The trailer came out. And let me first give my thoughts on the original, like, the first A Quiet Place movie. It came out in 2017, I believe. Yeah, I'm pretty sure it did. Or no, 2018. It came out in 2018. This movie was highly, highly regarded. I mean, we're talking 95. I'm looking right now, 95% on Rotten Tomatoes. That's a tomato meter. Those are the critic scores. So it's certified fresh. That's a really fucking high score. It's out of 100%. If you're not familiar with Rotten Tomatoes, they rate movies from 0 to 100 in percentage. And I think it's below 60% is a rotten score, I believe. So 95 is pretty goddamn fucking high. But the audience score is 83%, which I kind of actually agree with. I mean, again, I don't really like going off of Rotten Tomatoes scores to determine my opinions or whether or not I want to see a film. If I want to see it, I'm going to see it. That's a topic for another episode, I'm sure we'll get into. Maybe next episode. But for now, I kind of lean towards the audience score. I'm not going to lie. I did really like A Quiet Place. See, A Quiet Place was really good. It was a really well-made film. It was well-acted, very well-acted. John Krasinski directed the film. If you don't know who John Krasinski is, he's Jim Halpert from The Office, and I don't know anyone who has never watched The Office. So, yeah, that's who that is. And it was his first, I think it was his directorial debut for a feature film, and let me tell you, what a hell of a way to start and make your mark on the industry, because I did not think it was bad. It was really good. I just didn't think it was, like, the best film of the year, you know. But, yeah, I mean, his wife, Emily Blunt, he co-stars with it. He also stars in it. They play husband and wife, and they have kids, and they're trying to, you know, not die from these monsters that can only hear. So if you make a sound, you know, anything, like brush up against a leaf or, you know, step on a leaf, like they're on you, like, in seconds. So this is a pretty high stakes type of apocalypse movie, and yeah, it was really good. And when A Quiet Place wanted to be intense, it was really intense. I mean, that bathtub scene with Emily Blunt, like, holy shit. Holy shit. That's an intense scene. But I thought maybe the writing could been a little bit better. I mean, the writing was good, don't get me wrong, but I hated the kids. Like, I hated them. I thought they were incredibly stupid. I mean, one, why are you letting your deaf daughter go out on her own? Like, what? That's kind of stupid to me. Like, I get it, you have those sand paths that they can, like, stay on, but she's deaf, so if she, like, brushes against something that makes noise, she's not gonna know, and she's not gonna know if one of those giant fucking monsters are right there. Like, what are we, like, what the hell? Plus, I think just the daughter herself was really fucking annoying. Like, there was this teen angst thing going on. I was like, Jesus Christ, this is annoying. Plus, like, she should have found out the secret at the very end of the movie. I'm not gonna spoil it for you, but she should have found that out way sooner. You know, some, like, consequences that had to be made shouldn't have happened. Let's just say that. So, yeah. That's my opinion on the first A Quiet Place movie. I mean, it's a really good film. I recommend it. If you're a horror fan, especially, I'd definitely go see it. But, yeah, again, it's not the greatest film I've ever seen. I probably won't even watch it again. Like, I wouldn't buy it on Blu-ray or anything. But it was really good. It's a really good film. And, like, you should at least see it once. You know, it's one of those movies that I would recommend, like, at least watch it. So, A Quiet Place Part 2. Again, let me just read the events. Following the events at their home, the Abbott family now face the terrors of the outside world. Forced to venture into the unknown, they realize that the creatures that hunt by sound are not the only threats that lurk beyond the sand path. All right, so we're going to be dealing with people, which is, I guess, the most logical thing. I mean, that's never been done before. I mean, you even have one of the actors who I love, Cillian Murphy. He was in 28 Days Later, which is the movie that kind of pioneered that whole apocalypse thing. But, like, the apocalypse and what, caused the apocalypse is not really the, I mean, it's the main thing to worry about, but it's not the only thing to worry about. You have to worry about other things, like other people, because people who are surviving in this world aren't really deserving to be saved because they do things that keep them alive, which means fucking over other people and killing other people. So this concept has not been played with before. I mean, if you've seen The Walking Dead, you know what I'm talking about. I mean, come on. If you've played The Last of Us, you know what I'm talking about. But the trailer, first reactions, the opening scene gave me heavy Children of Men vibes. Heavy Children of Men vibes. If you've never seen Children of Men, do it. See Children of Men. It's fantastic. It's one of the best science... If not the... It's one of the best science fiction films. It's not only that, it's one of the best films ever made, in my opinion. Sorry, I'm coughing. It's a morning. I'm still trying to wake up. I stayed up pretty late last night, you know, because I was so goddamn heated. But, yeah, anyway. So, yeah, Children of Men, there's an iconic scene in the film where they put the camera, inside the car, and they, like, revolve it around for, like, all the actors. So it just constantly goes around inside the car as they're driving, and some shit happens, and it's really intense, and it's one of the best film scenes ever. Like, it's one of the most iconic scenes, I would think. It's one of the most intense scenes you'll ever watch. And that's what I was... Clearly, John Krasinski saw Children of Men and was just like, I kind of want to do something like that. And that's what they're doing. And that's what they did. And that scene was really intense when the bus is, like, chasing them back and that creature's climbing out of the bus. Like, wow. That was scary. That was pretty intense. And I love Emily Blunt. I think she's phenomenal. She's an incredible actress. Like I said, I love Cillian Murphy, and he's going to be in it. So I kind of trust Cillian Murphy. You know, I don't think he would have done the film if he didn't think it was going to be good. So it looks pretty intense. You know, I always like when these apocalypse movies have to deal with a little bit more than the apocalypse. It's always adds in a little bit more intensity to the film and more, I don't know, just darkness and more, I don't know, intriguing to me. Because, I mean, monsters can only get so, you know, scary. Plus, you've seen the monsters now. You know, if you're gonna see Quiet Place Part 2, you've seen the monster, so that intrigue there of seeing the monster is not there anymore because you've seen it already. So, you gotta do something else with the story, which I'm pretty sure they are. Comes out March 20th, 2020. I'll probably see it. I don't know if I'll see it in the theater. I'll probably wait, you know, hear some things about it. If it gets rave reviews like the first A Quiet Place movie did, I'll probably go see it for this podcast and, you know, get back to you guys. But anyway, moving on. So I recently watched a Netflix original. Sorry if I keep coughing. You know, I don't know what's going on with me. But I recently watched a Netflix original film that came out in November called The King. It's called The King. Let me read the synopsis for you. Hal, the main character, wayward prince and heir to the English throne, is crowned King Henry V after his tyrannical father dies. Now the young king must navigate palace politics, the war his father left behind, and the emotional strings of his past life. So, it starts Timothy Chalamet, who's this big actor on the rise. Timothy Chalamet, the French jagoff. Timothy Chalamet. But he was kind of the main reason why I checked this film out, because if you didn't know, I have the book behind me. A new Dune film is coming out in 2020, directed by Denis Villeneuve. He's one of my favorite directors, if not my favorite director working today. So I'm heavily intrigued by that film, and it's probably my most anticipated film of the year, is that new Dune film. And Timothy Chalamet, is cast to play Paul Atreides. Yeah, that Paul Atreides. Muad'Dib, Kwisatz Haderach. I mean, that Paul Atreides. And so that's why I've never seen any of Timothy Chalamet's other work, other films. So I wasn't too familiar, and I kind of want to see Paul Atreides act in some movies before, you know, I see Dune. And let me tell you, The King definitely sold me. Let's get into The King a little bit. It was directed by named David Michaud. I'm probably pronouncing that wrong and totally butchering it, but it was written by him and Joel Edgerton, who's an awesome actor and surprisingly good director. If you've ever seen The Gift, The Gift is really good. See that if you're a horror fan or a thriller fan. But he's also, Joel Edgerton also stars in it, and he's great. But other actors in this film are also amazing. Robert Pattinson's in it. He plays a French prince. The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. Robert Pattinson. That would be weird. That would be an interesting thing to watch. But yeah, he's a French prince. He's really great. Again, it's nice to see Robert Pattinson like be awesome in a film. But yeah, the entire film is incredibly well shot. It's incredibly well acted. It's a historical biopic drama epic. It's definitely an epic story. The battle scenes, especially the last one, there's really only one major battle scene at the very end. It's really good. It's really intense. It's really incredibly well filmed. The fight scenes are awesome when they do happen, but it's definitely an actor's movie, and I think it's Timothy Chalamet's biggest film, so again, it's a good precursor. Plus he's playing King Henry, so it's definitely, he definitely proves himself to be like, yeah, you know what, he's gonna make a great Paul Atreides. He's gonna make a really great Paul Atreides. But yeah, I would recommend The King, especially if you're into that historical, epic, biopic type of historical drama. If you're into that thing, definitely check The King out. Watch the trailer. You know, if it intrigues you, see it. But, I mean, if it doesn't intrigue you, you can pass on it. I mean, it's a movie that I'm not going to watch again. I mean, it's pretty long. It's 2 hours and 20 minutes. It's a long movie, but it's definitely worth a watch. If you're into that type of thing, which I am, I mean, I just love films. So, and I really, if you're a Dune fan and you're really excited for the new Dune film, I would definitely see this one, just to see just, you know, be awesome. I mean, it's his movie. He's the best part of the film. So check it out. Definitely check it out. So let's move on to the first topic, the first major topic of this show, which, if you can tell from what's behind me and my prologue to the episode, we're going to be talking The Witcher Season 1, Netflix's original series, The Witcher, which is based off of a series of books. But I mean, most people are familiar with The Witcher through the video game. That's how I'm familiar with it. Let me just like tell you, you know, my history with The Witcher. I've never read any of the books, so I'm completely unfamiliar with that. Which is, this show, I'm pretty sure, is based off of they're following the books more, which I think are before the video games. I'm not incredibly sure about that, but that I'm pretty sure that's what. The show is, they follow the books, but I'm just familiar with The Witcher 3 Wild Hunt, so I haven't even played the first Witcher game, or the second. I've only played the third one, and I haven't even finished the third one. I haven't finished that game, that's behind me. If you're just listening to the show, I'd suggest watching Nerd Out Sanctuary. I think it's worth it. I put up graphics, I think my set's pretty cool, but anyway, yeah, excuse me. Yeah, not familiar with the books. Played The Witcher 3, which is one of the best games ever made. I mean, The Witcher 3 Wild Hunt is one of those video games that if someone would come up to me and be like, The Witcher 3 is the best video game ever made, I wouldn't argue. I'd probably say, like, I don't agree with you. It's not my favorite video game of all time, but I can't disagree that it's the best video game ever made. It's if you haven't played The Witcher 3 and you're into video games, definitely pick it up and try it out. It's pretty incredible. But back to the show. again, if you're a fan of The Witcher games, watch the show. It's amazing. So we got the show follows three main characters. You obviously have Geralt of Rivia. We have Yennefer, who's an upcoming mage, and you have Princess Cirilla. So those are the three main characters that we follow. Henry Cavill, Superman himself plays Geralt of Rivia, which is really cool. I checked out some interviews with Henry, Mr. Cavill, Superman himself, and he got into this series by playing the video game. It's kind of weird. Like, Henry Cavill's kind of a fucking nerd, which is fitting, you know. This podcast loves him, you know. He's like the PC Master Race type of gamer too, which is hilarious. I thought that was really funny, and he's definitely takes influences from the game for his Geralt, and he's awesome in it. I love Geralt. I love his Geralt. His Geralt is awesome. The chick who plays Yennefer, let me look at her name, Anya Chalarotra. I'm butchering her name, but she's fantastic. She's awesome as Yennefer. She's beautiful, gorgeous. Yeah, she's awesome. And then Freya Alan, or again, I'm butchering her name. She plays Ciri, or Princess Cirilla. So, Geralt is, if you don't know, he is what you call a Witcher. And Witchers are mutants. Like, they're bred to kill monsters, so they're not the same as normal humans. They're bigger, they're stronger, they're basically super soldiers. You know, if you put maybe Captain America and, you know, fucked him up a little bit and put him in this universe, he would be a Witcher, basically. Sorry if I'm sniffling, that's just my thing. But anyway, so Witchers, they're bred to be monster hunters. Like, they hunt demons, witches, monsters, whatever you need them to be. They're bounty hunters, but they hunt monsters, you know. So, they're mutants. They also are heralded to have no emotions. So, they're very looked down upon in this world. They're very discriminated against. Another thing to bring up, this world is incredibly dark. The show, the universe itself has been compared to Game of Thrones because of its dark nature. You know, you have racism, xenophobia, you know, some, like, really fucked up shit that happens in the universe. I mean, you have these fucked up monsters. I mean, these monsters and demons look like monsters and demons from hell. Like, they look fucked up. So, yeah. It's a very dark universe, so you have some pretty dark characters, and, you know, but Geralt is definitely not one of them. He has this, you know, really thick, you know, layer of just hardiness. You know, he looks very menacing and very badass and very like, oh, I'm real intense. I don't give a shit. But he does. You know, he kind of has a heart of gold. You know, he says there's monsters and then there's money and there's rarely both. That's a famous, you know, a big line in the show, which is very true. You know, sometimes there's monsters, sometimes there's money, but there's rarely both. You know, there's one or the other. So he usually helps out people even without for nothing, just to help them out. He helps people, so he has a heart of gold. He's an amazing character. You know, I mean, if you've played the Witcher games, you know. If you've read the books, you know. But we also have Yennefer, who is a upcoming, you know, mage in training. That you see the origins of Yennefer in this show. That's what they explore. If you've, you know, again, played the video games and read the books, you know who Yennefer is. And you know that her and Geralt have this ongoing relationship. But her story wasn't, surprisingly, I didn't think I was going to like it at first. But I loved her story. I loved Yennefer's story. Her and Geralt's story are clearly the best and the most intriguing, which leads me to the third one, Princess Cirilla's kind of journey. And I definitely felt that it was the weaker of the three. I kind of got bored watching her a lot. I don't think it was the actress. I just think she didn't really have too much to do other than run away, which is just boring after a while. So when we were cutting to her, I was just like, okay, let's get back to Yennefer and Geralt. But anyway, let's talk about the show. Just to getting back to the show in general, the show definitely challenges you as a viewer. Like, you can't casually watch The Witcher. I will caution that. Don't casually watch it because you're going to miss a lot. Mainly because these three stories are told out of order at different points in time and different locations, and it's kind of hard to keep up with all of that. You have to be an active watcher to be keeping up with all this, which I appreciate. I appreciate a show challenging me a little bit to like put things together, and I did not expect that from a Witcher show. I expected it to be pretty linear, but I really liked it being out of order and out of, I don't know if that's a regular thing for the books to do, because I'm not familiar with it, but I liked it a lot. That might turn off some casual viewers, but I think, whatever, you don't need them. You don't need those casuals. Whatever. Fuck them. But anyway, that's like, I guess, one of the negatives of the show. I mean, it doesn't hold your hand. Like, it doesn't give you any, like, captions at the bottom, where they're at, what point in time they are, you know, whether or not, you know, Yennefer's a mage yet or Cirilla's even born yet. Like, it doesn't, you don't even really know what's going on. But, I mean, if you use context clues and you're paying attention to the show, like, you figure it out. So it's not, like, ridiculous. It's not confusing enough for you to not be able to figure things out. I mean, it's not 2001 A Space Odyssey or anything. Like, it's pretty easy to put together if you're paying attention. But you just have to pay attention. So I appreciated that. The fight scenes in this show are incredibly well choreographed and awesome. They definitely use the right blend of practicality, practical effects, and like in CGI to blend in. There is one specific fight scene where Geralt fights this child demon monster, and it's definitely the best fight in the show. It's so cool. The monster, there are scenes where it's practical and you're like, whoa, dude, that thing is scary. And then there's other scenes where they use CGI, but they use it well and it doesn't look bad. I mean, for a TV show, the CGI looks pretty phenomenal. Like, it's pretty surprising. I mean, again, it is on Netflix, so they definitely got a budget. Excuse me. But, yeah, fight scenes are, especially just like when he's fighting other dudes, incredibly well choreographed and very awesome, very bloody, which I love. I mean, come on now. Who doesn't love your blood and gore? Come on now. But yeah, very awesome. Let's go back to Yennefer a bit. Her story, when she uses magic, it's really awesome. The way they use magic in the show is really cool. Like, when you want it to be very mystical and mysterious, it is. When you want the magic to be scary, it is. When it's badass, it is. That goes for, you know, Geralt as well, and the just general action. They pull off the general tones of the show incredibly well with what they're trying to achieve. But yeah, again, the show in general is great. Surprisingly funny, too. Surprisingly really funny when it wants to be funny. Geralt's companion, or the bard, is really hilarious, and I love they're dynamic with each other, so I hope they keep doing that. I really appreciated that. Kind of like Dandelion from The Witcher 3. I know, so I don't think that's the same character. I believe it's not, but it could be. Again, I'm not too familiar with the universe to really know, but yeah, overall, the show is incredible. Yeah, Princess Cirilla's storyline in the first season is not that great, but if you've seen the show, you know that's probably not going to continue in the second season, if you're familiar with the ending. So, I mean, looking forward, that's probably going to go away, but it's definitely the weakest part of the show, and it just challenges the viewer to pay attention and be an active watcher. So, I mean, if that's a thing that kind of, you know, draws you off from like some certain content to entertain you, I guess don't watch it. But I would still still watch it. Give it a shot at least, because I love The Witcher and it's probably my favorite thing on Netflix right now. You know, ongoing. So I'll be there for season two. Definitely be there for season two for sure. All right, so moving on. From The Witcher, just from checking out my time. Okay, we're at a half an hour. All right. I also watched a show finished on Disney Plus, The Mandalorian just aired their finale, I think, a week ago. Not this past Friday, but last Friday. And, wow. Heavily impressed with this show. And, if you have been watching my episodes and you watched my first episode, the shitty audio quality, episode 1 and 2, but in the first one, I talked Star Wars, and I saw Rise of Skywalker, wasn't happy, been pretty disappointed for Star Wars since The Last Jedi, have not liked anything that's come out until this. This is really great. The Mandalorian is incredibly different to anything we've ever seen from Star Wars, coming from the way it's shot, the world building, the tone of it's like it's pretty much a Western. It's a Star Wars Western, which we've never really seen before. The music is incredibly different. Just everything about it is so different. And I think that's what the Star Wars universe really needs right now, coming off the episodes and the really rough reception. And again, say what you will about the episodes, but the new Disney episode, Skywalker trilogy, that people, it's, they're mixed opinions. There's no unanimous, like, oh, they're really great. People aren't fans. So having something come in and be incredibly different is, I believe, really important for the Star Wars universe right now, to really get Disney back on their feet, get Star Wars back in the good graces of the fandom for now. And I definitely think The Mandalorian is a great start. The synopsis of the show is there's a bounty hunter who has Mandalorian armor, takes a bounty from the Empire. If you aren't familiar with The Mandalorian, this takes place after episode 6, right? After Return of the Jedi. So the Empire has fallen. And so they're, whatever is left of the Empire, they're kind of on the run. They're kind of, you know, stowed away, you know, kind of like how the Nazis operated after World War II. I mean, obviously they didn't all surrender and they didn't all die off. Like, they were still around, but they weren't as prevalent as, you know, they once were. So that's kind of what they're doing with the Empire. And this Imperial dude, you know, gives the Mandalorian a bounty, and he takes it, finds the bounty that he's looking for. I'm just going to spoil it now, because, I mean, I'm sure all of you know, it's Baby Yoda. It's Baby Yoda. You've seen the memes. It's the cutest thing ever. You know, it's Baby Yoda. So, I mean, how the fuck can you kill that? Like, you can't. You can't bring that into the Empire. So, and he doesn't, because the Mandalorian, you know, finds his heart of gold that he's always had, you know. Now, the story itself is not too original. I mean, we've seen this before. Firefly is the main example that comes to mind. You know, Captain Malcolm Reynolds and the Mandalorian are very similar. You know, they are good guys at heart, but, like, are perceived as have this, like, kind of intense scoundrel exterior type of personality. But, you know, when they're faced with a situation of, like, of protecting someone in who they believe that is important, they do it. And that's the show, pretty much. Again, Firefly sucks that it was canceled. I'm still pissed about it. I'm getting pissed off right now thinking about it being canceled. But anyway, Mandalorian, again, it's not a bad formula to follow. I will say, at first, in the first couple episodes of The Mandalorian, I was really liking it. I was liking it, but I wasn't in love with it. And I'm a huge Star Wars fan. I'm a massive Star Wars fan. If you look behind me, there's a fucking cardboard cutout of Darth Vader. I'm a pretty big fucking Star Wars fan. And I wasn't in love with The Mandalorian at first. Wasn't in love, and I think, I don't know what it was, but just going to the end and going to the last two episodes specifically, that was kind of when I was like, you know what? Yeah, I'm in love with this show now. I just think you just need interesting characters to surround The Mandalorian, because I love Pedro Pascal, who plays the Mandalorian. If you're not familiar with who he is, if you've seen Game of Thrones, he played Prince Oberyn. Yeah, that dude who gets his face smashed in by the mountain, that guy. But he's awesome. He's perfect as the Mandalorian. You know, it's hard to perceive your emotions when your face is hidden throughout the entire show. I mean, praise just has to go out to the actor himself, Pedro Pascal, and the directors for being able to perceive, being able to have the audience perceive his emotions correctly. And you do. It's awesome. So that's really great. But I think you can only have the one character who doesn't show his face for so long until it starts getting to be like, okay, I'm starting to kind of get a little bit detached from the character because I don't see your face and you're not really emoting or anything. So you need interesting characters to play off of the Mandalorian, and that's where he's at his best. So that's where, you know, Gina Carano comes in as Cara Dune, that past Rebel shock trooper. She was awesome. She was badass. I like Gina Carano. I think she was a past MMA fighter, so obviously she can kick ass. You know, you have Carl Weathers is in the show as Greef Karga, the guy who runs the sort of the bounty hunter clan on his planet where he would give the Mandalorian his bounties. But he was great. Loved him. Loved seeing him. Nick Nolte voices a character, and his character was great. IG-11 was sick, voiced by Taika Waititi, who directed the last episode, which makes sense why I love it so much, because Taika Waititi is a phenomenal director. He directed Thor Ragnarok, if you aren't familiar with him. But yeah, just going forward, I mean, the ending of the show was great. I mean, it reveals something from the villain, who is played by Gus Fring himself from Breaking Bad, Giancarlo Esposito as Moff Gideon, who is I'm thinking going to be an awesome villain. He's going to be an awesome villain. Something's revealed with him that is a callback to the Clone Wars, and if you've ever seen the Clone Wars, it gets you incredibly pumped up for the future of the Mandalorian. So you have him stick around. You definitely need him. Because that Moff Gideon was awesome. I loved that. I was just like, yes, absolutely. Let's keep doing this with this villain. You need a great antagonist for this show. And maybe that was something that was lost in the first couple episodes that I wasn't really getting into at first. Maybe that's the reason why. And Moff Gideon doesn't show up until the last two episodes. But yeah, keep surrounding the Mandalorian with interesting characters. You know, those witty type of, you know, sarcastic characters that play off of mid the Mandalorian's like quiet demeanor. It gets to be pretty awesome, for sure. Absolutely. But the Mandalorian, great. Let's talk about the effects for lastly. I mean, come on, you can't not talk about them. The show looks amazing. Like, the effects are phenomenal. I mean, they should be, though. I mean, I'm pretty sure this show is one of them, if not the most expensive show, ever made. I mean, I looked it up. On average, each episode cost around $15 million, which, in comparison, Game of Thrones, their average episode cost about $6 million an episode, which is considered very expensive for a television show. I mean, obviously, you have your outliers who probably increase that a little bit, like your Battle of the Bastards, Battle of Winterfell episodes that cost ridiculous amounts of money because of all the CGI and all the extras and all the effects. But, I mean, The Mandalorian, on average, is $9 million. It more than doubles the episodic budget of Game of Thrones, which is insane. Because each episode of The Mandalorian is shorter than an hour. It's like around 40 minutes. You know, so these effects are amazing. I mean, I remember watching interviews with Jon Favreau, the creator of the show, when he was talking about how he was going to do the effects and kind of go back to, you know, constructing miniatures and filming those, how George Lucas did it with his original trilogy. And I loved that. And you can definitely tell. It looks phenomenal. Like, everything about it. It looks phenomenal. It looks film quality. It doesn't look like a TV show. It looks like a film every episode. So, yeah. Watch it. If you're a Star Wars fan, you've seen The Mandalorian. But if you're not a Star Wars fan, or if you've been kind of like, I'm not really into Star Wars anymore, watch The Mandalorian. It might turn you around. I don't think you're going to be completely sold on Star Wars again. I think The Mandalorian is just a really great step in the right direction for Disney with the Star Wars universe, and they just need to keep doing that. Which I believe they're going to. I think they've learned from The Last Jedi and Rise of Skywalker and that whole trilogy, having a vision of where the story is going to be going in the future is clearly not the way to do it, and you can definitely tell The Mandalorian is not that. They know where they're going to be going with this show, so they're already filming season 2 right now, so it's going to keep going, and I'm definitely going to be there, and I'm definitely going to be talking about it on this podcast when it comes out. So yeah, The Mandalorian, watch it. Definitely watch it. I mean, if you're definitive always not been a Star Wars fan, you can skip it. I mean, if you're not a Star Wars fan, there's really, I'm not going to entice you to watch it, but who knows, give it a shot. You never know, you might like it a lot. So moving on to the final thing of the show while I organize my notes. Sorry, my notes I'm pretty sure are out of order because I got too frustrated with losing my entire recording file last night, and I just threw my notes. I was just so frustrated. Take a sip of water. So the last major thing I want to talk about today, in this episode, is the topic of binging a show or not binging a television show. Given talking about The Witcher and The Mandalorian, both of those shows were had complete opposite releases. You know, The Witcher being on Netflix, they released their entire season of their show at once on one day. You can watch all the episodes if you want. You can just keep watching it. And The Mandalorian, on the other hand, released their episodes weekly, or sort of weekly. I know at first I think they like did two episodes like almost back to back, or there was a couple days in between, but it was mainly an episodic weekly basis type of show. Now, It's definitely, this topic is definitely difficult to come away with a definitive answer whether or not you should be binging, you know, to binge or not to binge. You know, it's an interesting topic to talk about, especially with TV shows now and the way our society is always kind of like always looking for the next thing, and we're always looking for the next thing to, you know, keep us entertained. But so I'm probably not going to come away with a definitive answer, but you know, as, you know, nerds do, you know, I'm a nerd. This is, you know, fitting for the show because it's called Nerd Out Sanctuary. Like nerds do, like nerds do. I just pulled up my glasses like a fucking nerd. But I made a pro and con list for both binging, to binge a show or to not to binge a show. So, pros for actually binging a show. I mean, you get the full story quicker, so that's good for certain shows. Just being able to watch the next episode, especially, you know, shows like The Walking Dead, I think heavily would benefit to this. I always enjoyed binging The Walking Dead, then watching it weekly. I think watching The Walking Dead weekly, having to wait for a week for every episode, made me stop watching it. That's probably why I stopped watching The Walking Dead. But I went back and binge-watched the entire thing. Well, not the entire thing. I binge-watched to, I think, season 7 when it was, you know, coming out. But, yeah. So you get the entire story quicker. It's better for people who, like me, who want to get their opinions out and their reviews out to, the like, you guys, so they can watch these seasons a lot quicker and get their full thoughts on the full story. Because I personally don't believe in, like, reviewing a show episode by episode. I think it's pretty stupid. I think you just overly criticize the episode. I mean, there's certain TV shows that are good for that, like Star Trek The Next Generation, but or just the Star Trek universe shows in general, because they're so episodic. But again, you can watch it on your own terms, you know? You can watch these shows on your own terms whenever you want, you know, three episodes here, three episodes there, two episodes here, you know, you can watch in your own pace. That's what I usually do. Like, spoiler, for my opinion, I like binge-watching shows, but I mean, I don't like, I've never watched an entire season of a show in one sitting. I've always, like, watched a couple episodes and then went to do something else or go to bed or something like that. So, you can watch it on your own terms. Also, I talked about this just previously, you don't overly critique every episode, and sometimes that's a good thing, but that can also kind of be a bad thing while leading into the cons of binging watching a show. Releasing your entire show and being able to binge watch it is not particularly good for the show itself, you know, because it's not in the limelight as long, you know. I mean, just like going, like The Witcher, for example. Give it, like, maybe another week. I mean, I don't think people are even going to be talking about The Witcher at all until the second season comes out again. I mean, they'll be like, oh, yeah, The Witcher, awesome show, fantastic, go watch it. But people aren't talking about it. You know, compare that to Game of Thrones. I mean, you have a 10-episode season. I mean, people are talking about Game of Thrones for 3 fucking months. You know, every week you're talking about the previous episode. And that's really good for the episode, because if people are talking about your show, you're making money. Somehow they're promoting your show, and more people are going to flock to your show because they want to get in on the conversations. Excuse me. Sorry, I'm coughing again. Sorry about that, guys. But again, when you're also binge-watching a show, there's no time to digest your episodes, you know, with that are, like, you know, important episodes to really talk about. Like, a great example of this, if you've ever seen Star Trek The Next Generation, there's an episode in, I believe, the third season. It's called Measure of a Man, and that episode deals with Data, and Data being property of Starfleet. You know, is Data property of Starfleet, or is he an actual living, breathing, like, organism? I mean, he's not living and breathing, but, like, is he a life form? Does he have a soul? Like, can he make his own choices? Is he not property? Can that be property of Starfleet? And that's one of my favorite episodes of Star Trek ever. And it deals with incredibly complex concepts, being artificial intelligence and whether or not they should be treated like living organisms. Like, are they human? If he looks human, if he wants to be human, you know, it's a very interesting episode, and it's an incredible episode. It's so good, and it's worth talking about and discussing and having debates over, because, you know, there's arguments for both sides. Maybe Data is property of Starfleet, you know, but that's what the episode deals with. And if you're binge watching a show like that, and you just, like, you watch A Measure of a Man, and then you can just go into the next episode, there's no time to really think and discuss and have this episode marinate within your mind and make it even better. You know, shows benefit from watching weekly, like Star Trek does. I mean, granted, you have those shitty episodes, so being able to just go to the next episode is always great, because the next episode could be phenomenal. The next episode could be Measure of a Man, but yeah, I mean, you don't get that with a show that you can binge. But I mean, I think binge watching a show definitely is a more cinematic experience. Like, for example, the first season of True Detective. It's an 8-hour film. It's film quality. It's very cinematic. It's one story. Yeah, certain episodes stand out, but I think that's a show that benefits from binge watching it, because it's an 8-hour film, basically. So, I mean, you can watch it weekly. I mean, again, I'm pretty sure I watched it weekly when it was coming out. But yeah, first season of True Detective, one of the best seasons of television you'll ever see. You can skip the second season. I know nothing about the third season. I haven't heard anything about it. I haven't seen it. First season's banging. First season's awesome. So, you know, again, I think you just have to, you know, find out, find out for yourself, like, what's best for you. You know, it depends on the show. There's really no definitive answer to whether you should binge watch a show or you shouldn't, you know. Even if it's released all at once, maybe it would be best to, you know, wait. You know, Black Mirror is a good example. I mean, Netflix's Black Mirror, they release all their episodes, and they're incredibly episodic, and usually all those episodes warrant a discussion, a debate, you know, because it's a sci-fi show. I mean, when you're usually watching sci-fi television shows, it's probably best to wait after every episode. But anyway, yeah, you know, there's pros and cons to both. You know, if you wait a week and you're discussing the episode and the episode sucks, I mean, you're kind of relating this show and it's like an overall opinion on the show itself with this one episode. It's like, oh, that episode fucking stinks. Therefore, the show stinks. But I mean, that's not always the case, you know. Star Trek, sorry to keep talking about Star Trek The Next Generation, but I mean, the first couple seasons, there were some fucking stankers. Like, some of those episodes are absolute dog shit. Like, absolute garbage. But I mean, that doesn't reflect on the show. I mean, the show is still phenomenal. You know, for every, I can't remember the titles of any shitty episodes. Every shitty episode, you have A Measure of a Man, you know, episodes. So, I mean, again, you kind of have to just get your own opinions and, you know, figure out for yourself, basically. There's no right or wrong answer. My personal opinion is I prefer binge watching, but I mean, I'm not like every other, I guess, television or watcher, I guess, is the word I'm looking for. I don't know, probably not. It's probably a better word to describe that, but anyway, you know, I prefer binge watching, but I'm not like everyone else who, I mean, I usually am able to get every episode and really think about it on my own. And, you know, I can always like recall if discussions come up, but, you know, I prefer binge watching it. It's, you know, with real life being what it is, and there's always something to do, being able to watch it at my own pace is always nice. Because if you're watching having to wait a week, you know, when that show comes out, maybe I can't watch it at that certain point in time. You know, luckily, we had Disney Plus, so I could have watched the episodes whenever I wanted to. But I mean, when it first came out, every week I couldn't watch it at that point in time. So, yeah. But you know, again, I also like to judge a full season of television when the season ends. You know, like, I just watched The Watchmen recently, and I think that show doesn't get incredibly good until the end. You know, I thought the first couple episodes, I'm like, okay, what the fuck is going on? I might talk about that. I might not. The Watchmen season one. I mean, again, I read the comic, and that's what it follows. It's a predecessor of the comic book, not Zack Snyder's film. It's not connected to Zack Snyder's Watchmen film, but to the comic book itself, which, you know, I appreciated as a fan of the comic, but I'm probably not going to talk about The Watchmen. I would recommend it. Watch it if you can. It was really good. I might talk about it, but I kind of want to reread The Watchmen comic before I talk about it. And The Watchmen comic is not a real easy read. Like, you have to, again, you have to pay attention. It's actually a decent amount of reading, The Watchmen. You know, it's a graphic novel, but I mean, like, it's definitely a graphic novel in every sense of the word, but phenomenal either way. So maybe that. But other than that, you know, I think we're done with the topics I want to talk about. You know, we talked about, you know, A Quiet Place trailer. We talked to the King and Timothée Chalamet being Paul Atreides. But, and we talked, you know, The Witcher Season 1, Mandalorian Season 1, and we talked about to binge or not to binge. But, you know, interesting. It's an interesting discussion. Interesting discussions. I hope you enjoyed this episode, guys. I did. You know, hopefully I don't fucking delete my audio file again, but from that, let's, I wanna, you know, give my message at the end of every episode that I do, and that message is to just, it's okay to just not be okay, you know? I accidentally deleted my entire audio file for this podcast, and I was so devastated. I mean, that was like 2 to 3 hours of my time just gone. Just absolutely gone, not getting it back, and it was devastating. And I literally thought, I was like, maybe I'm not going to film episode 4. But here's the thing, I didn't let it get me down. I was like, you know what, fuck that. I'm going to decompress tonight, and I'm going to get it back to it tomorrow, and because I'm not stopping this. And, you know, life can really suck sometimes. I know it for sure. I mean, having, you know, my time wasted is definitely not the worst thing that's ever happened to me. For sure not. And people who know me know that. And, you know, I'm the first one to tell you that life isn't fair and life can really suck sometimes, but just because it sucks right now doesn't mean it's going to suck in the future. So keep going, keep trucking along, take those negative things that happen to you and turn them into positives, make them personal growth experiences that you grow into a better person, because that's what, you know, they're there for. Those negative things, those awful things that happen to you are there for a reason, and they're there for you to look back on and get something good out of them. You know, don't dwell on the bad things. I didn't dwell on, you know, I definitely dwelled on it last night. Let's just say I definitely dwelled on losing my entire episode last night. I was about to fucking kill someone. Good thing I wasn't around anyone, because whoa, I was about to be on a murderous rampage. Talk about frustration. But again, you know, went to bed, got up this today, and you know, started again. It was a new day. Every day is a new day, and don't let it get you down. But I mean, again, it's also, so it's okay to just not be okay, and to, you know, talk to the people that you love and that care about you, because they exist, and, you know, talk about how you're doing and focus on yourself and focus on getting better. And, you know, your life isn't over. So with that, you know, I hope you enjoyed this episode, guys, again. And like I said in the very beginning of this episode, Nerd Out Sanctuary, we're on YouTube, we're on Spotify, we're on iTunes, we're on Google Podcasts. You know, download the episode on your podcast apps, watch YouTube, subscribe, comment. I would love to hear your thoughts about binge watching shows or not. Like, what do you do? Like, what do you do? Like, what's your preferred method? You know, give me some shows that you prefer, you know, watching on a scheduled basis or just like watching all at once. I would love to hear your guys' opinions, all two of you who watch. Maybe hopefully more people watch this episode, but hey, I don't care. I really don't give a shit. I'm gonna keep doing this. So I hope you enjoyed this episode. I did. This, you know, this is the second time I'm recording it, but I still enjoyed it. I still love doing this, guys, and I'm gonna keep doing it. I don't know what I'm gonna be doing next week for an episode. I have some ideas. I have one. If nothing really comes up this episode, I'm definitely gonna be talking about the Unbreakable trilogy next episode. So we'll see. But I might not do that. It depends what I watch. Again, I watched Watchmen recently, and I do kind of want to talk about that, but I don't want to talk about it until I read the Watchmen comic to really kind of get a sense of what I'm talking about, because I haven't read the Watchmen comic in a really long time. So maybe I'll read that this week and get back to you guys. But yeah, on that note, yeah, I hope to see you guys next week. I'm going to be uploading this video on Monday. The podcast itself will probably be uploaded to your, you know, streaming, you know, podcast streaming or downloading apps probably Sunday night, so you can get it on Monday morning if you drive to work or something like that. But yeah, guys, thanks, and appreciate all you guys who watch, you know, subscribe. I would heavily appreciate it, and, you know, download my my podcast. So yeah, with that, guys, thanks. And I know I can't, I still have no idea how to end these. I know how to begin them, but I have no idea how to end them, so they're extended. But, you know, hopefully we'll iron that out in the future. You know, still getting better. And so, guys, with that, see you guys on the next episode of Nerd Out Sanctuary. Have a great week, guys. So, thanks. Bye.